1108, this is WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That's how we're all staying connected and kind of getting through this together. We appreciate your calling and texting in with your questions and your help for other listeners, for that matter. And we're trying to help you out as best we can as well. John, my wife is an ER nurse, and I'm sleeping on the couch, have been for weeks. The PA is exactly right about family concerns. Yeah, I suppose a lot of you are doing that, huh? That if you are out there on a daily basis, maybe you aren't sharing a bedroom or a living space with someone, especially if you're able to do that. I came home the other day and Brenda wanted me to wash my clothes. And I know that that's a precaution that not every doctor we've had on this radio station has agreed with, but didn't seem to do any harm. And some of the information we're getting, and has this been your case too? I watch CNN or listen to our radio station, read something in the paper, and not everybody's advice is always exactly the same. So at some point, you have to take the information you're hearing and getting and then just make up your own mind about, well, what are you going to do about it? Because it's not all an agreement all of the time. You know what else is interesting? So today would have been the opening day for the baseball season for the Cubs. Cubs would be opening up at Wrigley Field today. A friend of ours here said, if it's any consolation, this is the glasses half full. Last week would have been a terrible week to be playing on the South Side anyway. And the White Sox, of course, were going to open at home a week ago. And those were not nice days to play baseball at all. So at least we got that going for us. But I was thinking about the baseball season, and I was listening to some discussions over the weekend about what they're going to do. When are we going to play? And what would that season look like? And would you declare somebody in an 80-game season a World Series winner?
And well, yeah, I would.
I would not at all. I mean, I don't know what you'd call it, but it just seems to me like the World Series is what happens at the end of a normal baseball season. Put it this way, Steve. If you played 120 games, maybe. But as you got closer to a 50-game season, I don't think I would do that. Do you remember, was it Seattle last year, the year before, opened up great and then finished terrible? You might not have enough games to sort of really figure out who the very best teams are. What you're going to get is the team that was hot for 40 games, right?
Well, we're going to have, mark my words.
Yeah.
We're going to have a 60-game season, and then everyone's going to be in a tournament.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking. So then, right, we'll just have a tournament. And what, the best team will play the worst team, right, in the first round?
Something like that,
but
yeah.
But there go that, you know, the Dodgers could get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, you know.
And would you declare the winner of that tournament the World Series champ?
Sure.
I would not.
Well, look, we have a team that cheated, and they're still the World Series champs.
I was so looking forward to booing the Astros. We're right. Not even getting a chance to do that.
It's going to be old news by the time they come around.
All right, so I asked two people who know more about baseball than you and me, which randomly you could almost find. Sam Panianovich and Joe Brand. Joe, of course, does play-by-play for the Kane County Cougars and works for us on WGN Radio. You hear him a lot on weekends, too, and around White Sox games. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi, John. Doing well. How are you?
Good. Sam Panianovich also follows sports and sports wagering for us and was a friend of mine and my sports guy when I was doing Saturday mornings. Hey, Sam, how are you?
I'm watching so much old sports. I can't stand it.
Are you guys enjoying that? Is that turning out to be a satisfactory reprieve, or does it make you wistful and sad?
It makes me very pretty sad. Wistful and sad, as you can guess from the pause. I guess it fills the need for right now, but you know, once sports go back on, nobody's going to be talking about marble racing for another 30 years.
Well, now you don't know that. You do not know that. Did you check out the marble racing, Joe?
A little bit, but only because I have to now. What am I going to do, bet on the blue marble over the orange marble next week?
I like the orange marble's chances. I think the orange marble is sluggish, but I think when the orange marble figures out how to get through some of the bumps and things, the obstacles, I think the marble, the orange one, is a player.
Okay, he's underperformed once again.
Yeah. Sam, you can jump in on marble racing at any point if you like. What do you guys think about our discussion, though? Sam, you go first about the baseball season, a shortened baseball season. what that would look like, and also what would they do at the end of the season?
Well, I still think everything is in play as far as the World Series goes. And the shortest season, remember this, the shortest season that we have ever, you have to go back to 1981 when the teams played 106 games on average. Some played a little more, some played a little less. But 106 is the shortest season we've ever had. And when you talk to guys in the game that call play-by-play and do post-game and stuff like that, they're being told that the league still wants to start the target date for them, and all this stuff is up in the air. The target date is still June 1st, and they still want to play, you know, 130, 140 games. Now, how would that happen? Because if you map that out and you go game here, game here, game there, and we go one game every day, we're going to be playing games in December. So I think a lot of the hope is that you can still start on June 1st, but they're going to be playing a whole lot of doubleheaders, like maybe 7 or 8 doubleheaders a month, which will take some people back to the nostalgic era of the 40s, 50s, and 60s when teams did play a lot of doubleheaders. But they still want to start June 1st. They still want to play well over 100 games because this is about money and about putting people in the seats and about writing tickets and selling concessions. That's really what it comes down to in sports. You really have to follow the dollar in 2020. And I still think June 1st is a fair target date. But we're going to have a whole lot of doubleheaders. We're going to have pitchers out there. We're going to have players out there playing, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 innings. In quite amount of games, quite amount of days.
Will they, if they do that, will they clear the stadium and then bring in a fresh audience, or does one ticket get you both games?
I'm going to guess that you probably have to clear out and then probably go back in. I did a doubleheader, Dylan Cease's first start last year. I think it was the 3rd of July, and I had to have two tickets. I had two tickets for both games. So went to the first game, which I think was at, I don't know, 105 or 110. Game ended, and then they pushed everybody out. And then we had to come back with a ticket for game two. So I imagine that's probably how it's going to go.
Joe Brand, are you as optimistic as Sam is about June 1st, first pitch?
I am optimistic, and Sam's right about money playing a huge factor because the teams don't want to miss out on games because they don't want to miss out on openings because that's how they make their money. But I think the more drastic this becomes, the more desperate we are going to be for sports. One very viable option is to start the season at the spring training facilities because you've got all your equipment there. The teams can all play very close around each other, and you can start squeezing in games like crazy because all the venues are so close together. Now, I don't think a 162-game season will happen. Like Sam said, June 1st is the most optimistic start time right now. So if you mapped out a season from June 1st to October 31st, and let's say the proposed 140 games, you're playing on average 0.92 games per day. Last year, a 162-game season, they played on average 0.87 games per day. So that's already a lot higher than what the players would be liking to have. And like Sam said about doubleheaders, Toronto's general manager Ross Atkins suggested that, hey, every Saturday is a 7-inning doubleheader, two games consisting of 7
innings
each.
Really? What do you think of that?
You know, what's funny is that's what we do in the minor leagues. And that standpoint, it works out. But, you know, you're talking about 7-inning no-hitters, 7-inning perfect game.
All right, but then I want an 18% discount on my ticket if I'm only getting 7 innings.
That will not happen. I can promise you that will not happen. But you know what else will happen if you go to 7 innings? And Joe's right. This stuff does happen in the minor leagues and in the independent league. The problem is a lot of these players have clauses in their contract and bonuses in their contracts. If you hit 30 home runs, you get $500,000. So if you miss 2 innings or 4 innings on every Saturday, a lot of these guys are going to get, you know, Jeff, now you're going to cry and say, oh, look, we're the players make enough money. I understand that. But you're not going to make everybody happy here. Somebody's going to have to make a sacrifice, whether it's fans, players, teams, the owners. We're trying to cram something around a pandemic or after a pandemic, for that matter. So they've got to get creative. And Joe and I can give you our thoughts and our ideas, but at the end of the day, these are still beach balls that are being hit up in the air. Does it make sense to play 160? Hell no, 162? No. But they're going to get as much as they can in a very short window of time.
Joe, I would discount then. If my clause said 30 home runs, I get $500,000. If I've lost 2 out of 9 innings, I would just do the percentage and say, okay, now it's 22 home runs. I mean, I suppose you could figure it out that way.
That'd probably be the practical way. I know that the Players Union and MLB have talked about those types of scenarios because they've already agreed on that if there is no 2020 season, you know, worst case scenario, the players will not challenge not getting paid, but their status of playing time, their service time, will act as if the 2020 season had happened. So the biggest situation would be a guy like Mookie Betts, who was just traded over to the Dodgers. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He never plays for the Dodgers, and he's a free agent the following year, and the Dodgers give up basically give up their prospects for absolutely nothing.
Do the players get paid? I'm sorry, maybe you just answered this, but if does Chris Bryant get his money? Do the players all get paid their money? Is it guaranteed, or if they don't play, they don't get paid?
So, yeah, the agreement was the players will not challenge the fact that they don't get paid if there is no 2020 season. But I also believe there's something in there that says the very low portion of Major League Baseball players will still get paid, but it's the guys getting the top dollar, the highest paid players in the league, will not get paid, and they can't challenge that. But again, their service time still works, because you're talking about a guy that could be a free agent at 33 years old as opposed to a free agent at 32 years old, which is a huge difference in the baseball free agency world.
So, Sam, what do you think of the end of the season if it's if you had 100 games, that's efficiently approximated Major League season, I guess you would have the normal wild card and playoff schedule that they might have planned. But what if you had 50 games or, I don't know, something under 100? There's going to be a line at some point at which you say, we didn't have enough time to really distill who the best teams are. You know, maybe the Dodgers started out cool, and it would be fair to get them in the playoffs. So one way to think about it is, let's just do some sort of tournament. What would you think of that, Sam?
Are you leading me here? Are you trying to get Apple Vacations to sponsor this? Is that what you're doing right now? Do you want a World Series in the Bahamas or something like that?
I'm just speaking from the heart here.
I would say, look, I still think we're going to get to at least 100 games. And if that happens in the crunch that I expect, we'll still be able to play the postseason. Not because the postseason is when ratings are at the highest point. That's when everybody starts to watch, or casual fans come around and flip it on. So I would think you're not going to shorten the postseason. If anything, you shorten the regular season to set the table for the real deal, which is the postseason. And if we do push it back to November 15th, or maybe it's November 30th or something, you'd have to go to a neutral site. And at that point, who wouldn't be down for throwing a bunch of cool cities in a hat and just picking it out? Like, how about playing 7 games in the Bahamas, or 7 games in Las Vegas, or 7 games in Miami, because we know the Marlins aren't going to the World Series. I'd be down for that. I think, home bases would argue, like, if the White Sox or Cubs made the World Series, they'd want to play their games in Chicago, but can we really play a baseball game when it's 20 degrees in November or December? No, you can't. So I think, like I said, the postseason will be the way it's always been, at least since the alignment change, and then we could have a neutral site World Series. That's certainly a possibility.
Neutral site World Series, because it would be so cold. What do you think about that, Joe?
Totally agree. I honestly want them to shorten up the regular season, you know, coronavirus aside. I want a shorter season and a longer postseason. I've kind of drafted up an idea of where you have 4 rounds, so that the lack of, or rather the inability for the teams to play 162 games, it gives the weaker teams a shot in the playoffs, because, you know, the NHL is talking about expanding playoffs too for this upcoming postseason, to give those teams that were maybe on the outside of the bubble looking in still a chance to do a play-in game or something like that. But I'd love to see the MLB conduct a, let's say, 4-round playoffs format, with the first round being a best-of-3 series at a neutral site. You just play 3 games in 3 days. Let's get this over with. I mean, have it be November Madness, like college basketball. I think that'd be a great sight to see.
Are you talking about a playoff game for this NHL season?
That was the original talks for NHL. They were saying something along the lines of anybody with 70 points or higher will get a chance at a playoff format, which would include the Chicago Blackhawks at that point, but it'd basically be in a play-in game situation. Basically, the better you do in the regular season, the higher, or rather the better the playoff structure works in your favor.
Oh,
and that's
sure.
What I think. Yeah, that's what I think, something that baseball should try to conduct. You know, have 24 of 30 teams in the playoffs, but make it really tough for that 24th team to move on.
That's Joe Brand from WGN Radio Sports. Sam Panionovich follows the wagering scene, too. Sam, you threw at me some sports that I can still bet on?
Yeah, you can still bet table tennis, and man, are they firing in Vegas and around. Though you'd never think that people would be so desperate to get their itch. But if you look at the betting boards, I mean, there's no college basketball, no NBA, no Major League Baseball. Everything has pretty much been postponed. Even Russian hockey is off the board. Oh. They just ended the Australian football, so that's off the board. So really the only thing you can bet now legally is horse racing and table tennis. So study up, King John. I'm going to need your picks for next week, table tennis.
Table tennis. Okay, that's kind of my game anyway. I'm pretty good at that one. So, all right, let's go over some names and some numbers this time next week maybe. And also the current 2020 odds for the presidential campaign. What's the betting on that?
So Andrew Cuomo has started to skyrocket because of Joe Biden's inability to answer a question. So Trump is even money right now. He's plus 100, and I think that'll keep going down. Joe Biden is 11-8. That's plus 138. And then Andrew Cuomo, as of this morning, is 25-1. He was 250-1 a month ago.
He's getting a lot of positive time on CNN, so Cuomo is up. Biden's just, he and Bernie Sanders are invisible. Bernie is now 33-1 odds, Cuomo 25-1, Biden 11-8, and Donald Trump is even money to get reelected, according to the people who put their money where their mouth is. All right, guys, thanks for your time. Good to hear you both. Take care.
You got it. Thanks, King John.
You betcha. Bye, Joe Brand. Bye, Sam Panionovich.